They've come out for a six-week training course, which has been funded by the Red Meat Partnership under the Australian Awards Program banner. We're going back to first principles. A lot of these people are already working with cattle in Indonesia. We're covering basics like nutrition, animal breeding, selection of animals for herd improvement, and also practical handling, livestock handling skills, including animal welfare aspects.
It's a different system over there, isn't it? A farmer may have five cows and that's as big as his herd gets.
Yeah, I mean, some guys may only have one cow. Then again, at the other end of the spectrum, they've got large feedlots, which are quite comparable to some of the Australian systems that we see over here. But yeah, a lot of systems are cut and carried based, so the animals are either tethered or in a stall and their feed is brought to them on a daily basis.
What's in it for Australia to help the Indonesian beef industry?
There's a strong trading relationship with Australia and Indonesia, particularly with the northern beef industry. A lot of beef cattle out of the north are going across to Indonesia and going directly into feedlots or into wet markets over there. From our perspective, if we can help our Indonesian colleagues to improve their production systems and also animal welfare standards, then that's a win-win for both the Indonesian consumers and for the Australian beef industry as a whole.
What's the biggest challenge in trying to disseminate information to small-time farmers and those farmers who have done their traditional ways for generation after generation?
Probably the biggest issue that I see is that farming or cattle rearing is seen more as a form of savings. It's not run as a business. From the Australian perspective, we tend to talk about increasing profitability, making more money, etc., etc. A lot of these guys in smallholder systems are really having animals just to save up for school fees or if there's an emergency and they need money in a hurry. So they're not particularly interested in spending big amounts of money to therefore increase their profitability. They often don't know how much time or money they're actually putting into their animals in the first place. A lot of the stuff we see on the ground, the issues that we see tend to come back to lack of nutrition, particularly for large animals. Where the systems that I have seen are going quite well, the farmers who are doing a good job tend to really be feeding their animals well, and in the systems where they tend to be having problem, it's often related to the fact that they don't have enough feed or they have poor quality feed, and that makes life difficult to make beef production effective over there.
They've been here for a couple of weeks already. Have you seen a penny drop?
Definitely. Some of the guys are certainly picking up some of the messages that we have been trying to get across already, and a lot of these guys are pretty experienced, so some of them are aware of what we're talking about. It's more a matter of how can they communicate the knowledge that they have directly to their farmers, how to best work with their farmers to try and create that change.
Let's talk about breeds. Are there any particular breeds that you think would do better in Indonesia that they're not using or that you are encouraging?
It's a question of management. Feeding the animals to ensure that they can maintain their body weight, particularly productive cows, in order to ensure that they can get back into calf. There's a lot of local breeds over there which are well suited to the current conditions and the current management systems. If you're bringing in introduced genetics from outside of the country, generally you need to bring in a whole management system change where you actually have to feed the animal the right amount of food in order to make sure that they're productive.
The 30 participants currently in the Armidale region, but they are heading north for further experience?
Yeah. So we'll be heading up later next week. We'll be going up via Glen Innes and Toowoomba to have a look at a couple of feedlots up there. And then the following week we'll wind up out at Longreach and Emerald, where we'll partner with our training partners, the Queensland Agricultural Training Colleges, so at Longreach and Emerald. And there the guys will get some very hands-on experience handling cattle, working them in the yards, feeding them and doing all sorts of other tasks that are related to cattle management and rearing.
Do you expect some big lessons to be learned there? How different is the way cattle are handled between Indonesia and Australia?
Just the sheer volume of cattle that they'll see coming through. For some of the guys, as I've mentioned, they work in feedlots, so some of it may not necessarily be new, but they'll certainly be able to pick up more on the quieter handling of livestock, flight zones and those sorts of things. For some of the smaller guys, I think they'll be blown away by the sheer number of animals that are coming through the yards at any one time.